Hey guys, welcome back to the Ask a Muso podcast, brought to you by Yellow Music. I'm downstairs. I have two lovely local gentlemen in my abode today. I got two fifths now of catching salmon. Chaps, say g'day and kick things off for us.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hello, hello.
So who have I got? I got Salmon, I got Riley. Tell me a little bit about you guys and sort of the band itself.
You go?
No, you're right.
We started sort of, I knew Salmon, SCYO is called, which is like a youth orchestra on the Sunshine Coast. So I was still in school and playing in school jazz band and big band and stuff like that. And he was conducting the youth orchestra.
Really?
Yeah.
So used to wave the arms.
Oh, she wins.
Yeah.
Oh, get the wings out.
Yeah. So I got, and I started doing it with the Sunshine Coast Youth Orchestra, and that's where I met Danny, and then we just started jamming and getting on the piss and stuff, and ended up...
When he was 18.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just, started a band, Catching Salmon.
That's crazy. Yeah. So you actually didn't really see him play anything?
Like, no, because he was a drummer.
But
he was conducting in the band.
Right,
so
yeah,
he would be barking up the drummers that were there, but not much. Like, I never saw him play or anything like that.
Okay.
We had a pretty fantastic drummer. I didn't have to say too much to him, honestly.
That's nice.
Just kind of waved the arms to start the band and let him do his thing.
Yep, you guys have it on lock. I might take five.
Well, I would just look at him. I'd be like, right, okay, we need someone to do a guitar solo. Not guitar solo, someone to do a solo. And I'd be like, right, who's this kid up the back? I went and looked at him. I was like, yep, can you chuck a solo over this? He went, sure. And it was a Latin tune. He just started playing Dire Straits licks to it.
I love it.
It was not, no, just ripped it all off.
How many pieces is this?
It was like a proper...
This is a jazz band, so...
Like brass section.
Okay, like probably like...
Five saxes, four horns, four trombones.
I love a big sound like that. That's epic.
And that's how I really started getting into music, was inside of that jazz band sort of stuff. And that's how I met the drummer of Catching Salmon as well, was playing drums at school and jazz band in an orchestra.
That's a question I did have. So I knew of you through, you know, Jet and Connor and all those chaps. And they said that, you should see Salmon on the Tubs. He's great. And I was like, I must have him mistaken with someone else, because when I see pictures of you, you never play drums. I was like, have I got the wrong guy or am I mistaken? And they're like, no, he used to play drums for a bit in Salmon, and then turned out that, well, you replaced yourself literally to then sing up the front. So what's the go behind that? How'd that all come to be?
Well, we had a singer in the group. He's gone on to start a new band called Stairmaster. We really liked him. He's actually, Brent, I'm sure you've met him.
He's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
And we really like Stairmaster too. Love their new album. But he just didn't really suit what we were looking for at the time, which again is fine. It's okay to move on from somebody like that, especially when he goes on to do something that he's done with Stairmaster.
Which is great, yeah.
Indeed. So Riley just sort of looked at me. I think we were playing A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. And Riley looked at me and he went, can you sing that? And I was like, I'll give it a go. And we sang it and he was like, why don't you be the singer? And I said, sure, I'll give it a go. Was probably a bit more push and shove than that. I didn't really want to give up the drums, but I guess that was where it all started, when it came to being a lead singer. Then I just stopped playing drums for a little while, just teaching it and doing my job doing that. And singing was more of what people knew me for in the last 2 years, but then I'm started to play a little bit more kit now as well.
So did you guys have the current drummer of Catching Salmon in the Wings? Like, sort of?
Tommy. Salmon knew him from school.
Yeah.
And so there's Tom Braithwaite, who plays with us now. He's the guitarist that we just...
Yeah.
So he was sort of in the first, sort of, not the first, but one of the earlier stages of the band, because he was playing bass.
Okay, yeah.
And Tommy Chester, I'd met him through Salmon. He's a sick drummer as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then so then it was kind of like Salmon was like, he was hard to get. Actually, hence the name Catching Salmon. He was just always down in Brizzy and stuff. And so then we were just jamming more often with Tommy and Tom Braithwaite. And then Tom's hand got cooked. So Tom was always sort of since it's been a band, Tommy was the drummer. Like, we weren't gigging or anything.
Yeah.
Salmon.
Like, okay, just, okay. Yeah, yeah.
There was
no,
and we were just like, we weren't even writing, man. Like, we were just playing covers and, like,
okay,
we
so did really like,
it was a cover. Yeah, it was a cover band just for
like,
a while.
It might have been like three rehearsals. Like, it was four pieces.
Super early stuff. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Catching Salmon didn't really start, like, the name didn't even come to till Sid was part of the group.
Yeah.
Other thing, hey, I was actually going to ask, like, it's because you were a bit of a slimy critter and you had to get onto. And yes, is the answer. You basically were hard to get onto, and that's the name.
He's a pain in the ring, eh?
Yeah, I'm pretty hard to find on social media sometimes.
I feel grateful. This is actually relatively easy to tee up then, all things considered.
Yeah.
So that's, well, that's nice. And I like that, because I wasn't sure, because I'd never seen sort of any correspondence of Catching Seven with you behind the tubs. Turns out, yeah, it was more of a...
Yeah, it was just us jamming. And like he would come around and we'd have a couple beers and we'd play like Chili Peppers and stuff like that. There was nothing serious.
So what would be the inspiration sort of for Catching Salmon musically, and what do you tell people when they ask what the genre of the group is?
Again, it's changed.
We were so into cock rock, it wasn't funny.
It was just Van Halen or death. Yeah, like you didn't get a choice.
Yeah.
And like those big like metal screams, like all of that sort of stuff. Like we loved it. We absolutely don't say it's bad because I still love it. But
it's not what it is anymore.
It's not what it, again, yeah, we felt like it sort of didn't suit where things were going with the band anymore. So we've kind of gone, again, after sort of evolving musically, we all started to listen to heavier stuff and faster stuff and that sort of, so we're sort of going into this more punk, sort of metal-y, I don't know.
I think it's more the scene as well. Like that was, it was not an authentic scene anywhere in Australia that does that. Like, I think anyway, like it's cool every time you see a band that does that sort of stuff, but you kept getting thrown into like the revival genre.
Okay.
So like, oh, you're trying to bring, you know, and it's kind of like, there's kind of like an inauthentic sort of scene. Like everyone was trying to be, when I say everyone is in, everyone that was doing that sort of thing was trying to be like as rock and roll as they sort of could, you know?
Okay.
And it's kind of just like, I don't know, like the more we got into it, the more we were just like, man, we kind of just would rather just like play music.
Yeah.
And like not take it as serious.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, we're not the fucking Rolling Stones, so like we like, you know, rock up to the venue or whatever and do our 45 and then have some beers, like, but that's it. So
yeah, and also you weren't trying to be a revival tribute thing.
We hated we didn't want to do that.
And you don't want to be cynical.
Which is why we never turned up in spandex and that's all, because we didn't want to portray that image of
man, if that's your thing, like go for it.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah, no,
it's not your thing.
100%.
It's just not what we want to do. So
so now then, what would you say the influences?
Well, the major one for me, especially like singing-wise and melody-wise, is Melodicy.
Okay.
Which were like, I think they were like doing like when like Dead Letter, Circus.
Okay,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like all those I'm like Melbourne think, yeah. prog metal bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay,
sort
yeah.
Of coming through, the Butterfly Effect.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Dead Letter Circus, just as a sidebar, Dead Letter Circus, the assistant engineer, like essentially for all of their records that used to work with... Forrester? Is that no? Oh, I'm gonna maul this, but like he was a teacher at my uni, and he took our like recording studio techniques class. So therefore, a lot of the like recording techniques that they use on their album, I went and bought those mics and I went and did those things. And that's not actually how I record drums. So the fact that I have the mic sound that you're holding right now, I run that on my snare. That is as a result of Dan Murtagh saying that's what we did on Dead Letter Circus album.
That's
all right. So just stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely know that style because when I was in Victoria and I was studying in Melbourne and stuff, and he was, well, that was very much a band that was close to him. So I got into that as well back then.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that's true. You see gig posters, so I assume they're just coming up at the same time. But yeah, we found that band and then I showed Sam and him and then we just like frothed them. Hey, they're called Melodicy. They're sick.
Yeah, okay.
Check them out.
Beautiful melodies, and like the way he sings, it's incredible in comparison to what he does in Dead Kelly. It's just incredible.
Yeah, okay. Like, well, I suppose it's like when you look at Slipknot and then the solo stuff, and it's like, wow, your voice is unbelievable. It's
it's again just like the way they turn off the and go straight into like these beautiful like melodic sort of vocals. It's just incredible, and that's something that at least I'm trying to emulate. Right now with us, especially with this new stuff. Bit more screaming, bit more singing. Yeah.
But some different things. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And so that's just more for me at least. Like with the band stuff, I think we're going a bit more punk, a bit more upbeat sort of thing.
Okay.
We've both been listening to more Friends or Rom, that sort of skate punk.
Oh, yeah. And that stuff's sick. Yeah. Yeah. That's sick. Now that's something that you're going on, that's for sure. Yeah. Like all that stuff, listen to that. Some very good tracks in there. I wanted to, I suppose it makes sense now that when you're talking about how sort of things are changing. Yeah, Birch is having a bird bath. Birch is having the most aggressive bird bath right now. No stage
getting
fright.
Splashed.
Just absolutely no stage fright at all. Just interrupt, sure.
G'day, mate.
So that's going to be a lot for me to clean up later. So that's fantastic. But yeah, so essentially you're talking about changing things and growing and evolution and stuff like that. Five members in the band now. So your second Tom. So yeah. Tell me about what was the idea behind having the second guitarist, and well, more so for you, Riley, what was your thoughts on that?
He was kind of like always around but not around sort of thing. Yeah. Like
he got stitched up pretty hard.
Well,
he would never have left the band if he didn't get that problem.
We didn't even know, but he had something wrong with his hand and he couldn't play
a medical level.
Yeah.
And I lent him I had a 3/4 Strat.
Okay,
one of those small, short scale ones. And I think he just put some light gauge strings on it and just sort of played when he could, but his hand was cooked apparently.
Okay, so,
yeah. And then we were just man, fuck it. We were all pretty busy doing our own stuff as well. So it'd be helpful having another person here help write and stuff like that. And it's good, man. It's good having more people.
And he's
good, man. He's
yeah, much better now.
Yeah.
Super talented and good songwriter. Do you know The Broken and the Wicked?
No.
That's his solo project.
Okay.
Very metal. Very metal. They just did a cover of My People. I'm here with all of my people.
Okay.
But it's I'm here with all of my people. and he does all of the screaming.
So it's 100% him?
He gets Tommy Chester
on the kit.
Yeah.
And he's done a few. I think it's the
Zach Thompson. I think that was his name. I think he's got. Oh, yeah. I think he's got lessons off of that bloke.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna.
I'll look it up.
Half
this shit. Jamie, can you pull that up, mate?
We're just talking on behalf of so many people.
Exactly. I love you blokes in here talking about other people the whole time.
Did not
absolute confidence
prepare for this at all.
Just plugging other people's solo projects whilst doing research because we don't have our own Jamie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm shocking. Eh?
Did Sid tag that?
No, he wouldn't.
Oh, of course he didn't.
Oh, unbelievable.
I hate the social media.
And I hate Sid.
Do you do it? You do heaps of it, eh?
Well, see, for me, I run operations at a marketing agency. So this is just work, but not at work.
I don't know you that well, because I've crossed paths a few times.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. I remember when I first crossed paths with Salmon officially was when I took him and a Hambo down, back to my time, after precinct one of the nights. And stuff like that. So there's one of those things where when you play and you're always playing or you're always doing something, you tend to actually struggle to cross paths with other people. Because, my full-time job is as in the marketing agency. So I normally just assume the socials role, the content guy in whatever bands.
Yeah.
But then between me and stuff, there's Selling in Space, there's obviously...
Yeah, you got a finger in every part.
Yeah, so there's obviously that. So Selling in Space, there's Band from the Club, there's obviously playing with Delacoma, then there's the stuff with John and Caleb for the Justice
Trio.
He's
a nice guy, that.
Yeah. So there's lots of bits and bobs happening and stuff like that. So
how do you... do you have one project that you're just that you want?
I suppose right now, the Justice Trio are working on a record that I'm putting together myself and... So we're getting a master over with a connection to John's in Milwaukee. But other than that, I'm putting together everything else. And that's the main focus right now. So we've got an EP to do, which is a bunch of John's older tracks and then stuff that we've revamped and put the full band behind because he normally used to play by himself.
So, sorry to interrupt. He had a solo career in the States.
Yeah. So John Justice was, quite a formidable player playing all the way around between Nebraska and Wisconsin and all this stuff. Cause that's what he did. So basically a few years ago, I thought it was a lot longer than that, but a few years ago, he's like, yep, I haven't done music and I should have, and I want to, so I'm doing it. And he just got into it. And essentially when we went to the States and toured with the Delacoma show, we met him for the first time, hit it off instantly. And then he was our second guitarist, our keys player.
So I was just going to say, did Del know him before that tour?
It's his brother.
Oh, right.
Oh, so there. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
So you knew of him.
Yeah, so I knew of him, but I assumed he just was old, had been playing for 150 years. He hadn't actually been doing music for that long as a soloist. Okay, and Aaron went to have really his first 12 months as, I'm earning money from this and this alone, and it's sustaining me.
Yeah,
for about 12 months. Then we went over, did a bunch of stuff in the States with him. And then because he's a dual citizen. So he was born here and Del was born in America.
Sounds American.
They spent
super
alternate years. So basically John spent a handful of years in Tasmania and then moved over to the States. And then Del spent a handful of years in Seattle and then moved to Australia.
Right, okay.
So between them, they have the alternative citizenships for how their accents sound. But actually, Del's actually American and John's actually Australian.
That's funny.
Right, they've just spent... much more of the alternate for each other's lives. So then when we did the tour and stuff, he's like, look, I have nothing keeping me here, really. I want to, I don't know, let's see what happens if I go back. I haven't been back since I was, since he was like 7 or something. So he's been back in Australia ever since. And so far, this is like his now, his new home hub. So when we did a couple of trio versions of the songs in the States, because Del's like, I need a
break.
I need a breather. Can you just do some of yours and just get Bailey and Caleb to just learn them? Is that fine?
Huh.
Because so we did that, and then we sort of went, shit, this is pretty good. We could probably do this more often. And then we found out he was moving back to Australia, and we're like, oh, we could really do this more often. We could absolutely do this. So from there, we basically took it over, and that's when we decided, yep, let's make the Justice Trio a priority. So I suppose that would be the priority. The Delacoma stuff, because of his In Excess show, he only has, you know, 2 weekends free in a month.
He doesn't do the In Excess show, though.
So that's just Del and Rob. So lead guitarist.
That guitarist that we met, yeah.
Yeah, so basically they play, so they do that all the time. So there's only a few weeks off. But obviously we know that when there's a few weeks off, they'll both be off because they're obviously in the same band. So therefore the shows for them, when they're on, but they're sort of few and far between. So
have you seen the In Excess show?
Yeah, I actually went and saw the In Excess show in Noosa.
Was it all right?
Goes off. Yeah, unbelievable. Man, goes off.
You get to sell some tickets, eh?
Oh, yeah. It was sold out for second year in a row.
Where was it?
At the J.
Oh, true.
I'd never been there before. Like,
it's more of a theater sort of place, you know what I mean? It's not really like, oh, put your gig at the J.
Michael Hutchins. Yeah, like, he has the part. And like, even just from like when the show and the mannerisms and stuff like that, like I've seen the mannerisms. It's
fucking freaky.
Yeah. And in a way, it's like I've seen the mannerisms from the rear for...
Yeah, true.
Like over a year now.
Yeah, what's...
But,
be right.
But like... But I've never actually seen him really perform because I don't go to Delacoma shows. Like, I'm just there.
You can tell he like grew up like doing the moves, man. Because when we were watching him when he was doing Del, you could see it. You could just be like, man.
We got to find the VR. You can't bring that up and then not let me say this.
Okay.
There's a video of Riley Newman in his garage, probably about age 15, dressed as Angus Young.
I reckon younger.
Really?
Yeah.
You're tall enough to be like about 14, 15, but still dressed as Malcolm Young, doing the...
it was Angus.
Oh, yeah, dressed as Angus Young, doing the duck walk, doing whatever.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I'll still back it.
Yeah. I've got to find it.
Please find it.
I've got to find it.
If you can put it on the pod.
If you could source it, it is absolutely playing right now.
Play.
Yeah, I could give a fuck.
Yeah, that's play. It. Okay, yeah, sweet. That's your homework then.
What was the States like?
States was sick. States was awesome. Like,
really?
Because we had connections because of sort of like the Midwest is where their Del's biggest fan base and just sort of home base is, because John has lived in between Milwaukee and Nebraska predominantly. His parents, their parents, live in Texas now, but for the most part, that's the Midwest. That area is where they have the most connection, the most family. We had places to stay every time, that sort of stuff. But then the rest of it was just in the RV, and that was fun. So basically, Caleb was asleep for 19 hours a day. It was hilarious. He would just be asleep the whole time. What he'd do is he'd lie down and then he'd have like a denim jacket and he'd just be like these ones. And I'd be like...
Tapping on him.
Are you there, mate? Like, you're going to suffocate yourself with some like thick denim jacket. That was crazy. So that was a very good time. But that's sort of where we met John. And then from there, we just sort of instantly hit it off. I think that might have been part of the reason why he decided to come back, because he's like, oh, you guys have got... something really going here. So,
because you're going all right over there,
yeah, absolutely. But he was like, I definitely noticed that I'm playing, and he mentioned this when I did the pod with him for episode one, was that he had essentially got into the rut of, in order to make a living, I need to play songs, to play shows, to earn money, and then just got in that cycle. It's like, I don't play stuff I really want to play, I just play stuff because I need it,
it just becomes a job, then,
And he's like, the biggest thing that I learned when I chatted to Del, both before on the pod, before I joined the band, that sort of stuff, was that he said, it doesn't necessarily have to be my stuff, but I'm at the age where I definitely don't want to play stuff that I don't enjoy, because then it's just more hard. I may as well just get a job I don't enjoy, because at least it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be doing something I'd rather have something that has extremely easy job security and way less admin.
Because it looks like a fucking different planet, that joint. Like, I've never left Australia, and like, you see the videos over there, and just the idea of going over there to tour and play music is just like, I couldn't even like imagine, where to even fucking start.
Oh, the thing that's the most wild is it's 50 different countries. Even Americans would agree with that. Like, it's not states, it's countries. And for the most part, when you're over there, they have like their bar culture and stuff like that. Responsible service of alcohol. Who's that? Don't know him.
Really?
Fuck no. Oh my God, no. The amount of stories we have from just like we'd play a show.
Were you guys going out or?
Well, thing is, we played at both dingy and upper class bars and stuff like that. We played at places that were a bit more like, you know, don't sit on the couches. And then some places are a bit more like we played one place that was essentially like, you know, Calandra Event Center. That sort of room.
Yeah, I thought I saw a few different photos.
And like one of them, I played a drum kit, which I'll put up in the episode and I'll show you guys afterwards for context. I played a drum kit that was at least 15 piece. And like all racked up cymbals and all this stuff.
Stop it.
You say it was awesome. It wasn't awesome. The guy who were playing it, he's like, hey man, like he's sitting down like on the floor. Like if we were like Dave Grohl stuff. He's sitting on like a tiny little stool and he's a bit bigger than me. And he's like, like cymbals up in the sky. And he's doing these ones. And I was like, how do you go with the setup and getting it all right? He's like, yeah, it's new drum kit, man. Like I haven't had it for very long. And I went to see my doctor because I think I've hurt my shoulder, man. And it's just, the setup's like this. I was like, no wonder you fucking hurt your shoulder. He's got like cymbals behind him and all this stuff. Got all these double racks and all these toms. And,
like bloody Jonathan and, Sugarfoot.
Yeah. And like literally as if the drums would be this high and he'd be sitting this high. He'd be like on the floor. He's like, yeah, man, I think my back's sore. The doctor said my back's really sore. Oh my God. Imagine my shoulder. I'm just going, geez, that sucks, hey. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what do you fucking think,
man? And just like, he's like, no, man, you can use anything on here. Just use whatever you want. It's just like, so sweet. So I'm thinking we might just take down all of the double rack cymbals. He's like, yeah, for sure, man, whatever you want. I was like, mate, I flew from Australia. I only have five fucking cymbals. Like, you've got 11, 14 splashes. He had three different toned, like, wood blocks for cowbells.
Oh, yeah.
He had like a conk, conk, conk. And I was just like,
I like the second one. You can
just get, I've been practicing that for you boys. Like just stuff like that. I was just like, this is the most wild drum you've ever sat behind. And then it was impossible to play because it started like a 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18.
Mm. Again, some people just love it, don't they?
Yeah.
They just love all the extra stuff and loved putting so much different things on their kit.
Yeah, but it's like playing with your guitar like that low with your strap.
Yeah.
Like it's just looks fucking badass, but it's so bad to do.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of Nirvana and just like, I saw this one thing. It was like when Chris shows up to rehearsals and it's some guy standing on a drum stool with the strap on the lowest and he's playing it with his toes.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's... It's a style, but that's not useful to play.
Exactly.
Especially like
looks good though.
For you, the parts that you're playing, you couldn't be having it down near your ankles because you wouldn't be able to get your hand in there.
It's crazy.
Would you? I don't even know.
Oh, it's just not comfortable. You get used to it, but it's like anything. Like I don't drum, but like if you get used to having your stool, like you always whinge about Tommy's stool height.
That's because he bloody did his knee when he was in school, and he decided he tore his ACL.
He's used to it now.
Like he tore his ACL, so he was using a kitchen stool as a drum stool, so he could have his leg in a cast and play drum stool.
Oh,
and
so now he sits just up in the moon.
Now he just likes. Man. He legit sits pretty well standing up. It's the most uncomfortable fucking way to play drums.
Jet does the same.
I know.
Has some legs on him. It makes him look like a pipsqueak. But at the same time, like, and the snare drum, it's like it's in between his legs. Like I don't want to hit my own legs. I'm like,
I call right angle. If you've got your leg at a right angle, that's where I feel most natural.
Yeah, so
but like they play with it like pretty well, almost facing like a full on straight leg.
Yeah, you should be sitting like that. That should be how your leg is. So you should never be in.
Yeah,
then that's not good on your hip flexors. And you should always sort of be out so that when you kick pedal, you're kicking, you're pushing out and down.
Yeah.
Because that's like currently how we're sitting is out and down is how you're doing. Because if you're behind here, you can't get any pull.
Yeah.
I'll pull heel down.
Look, that depends more on how much room I have in the venue because sometimes I'm really having to just do whatever is comfortable, whatever's possible to make it.
Very much, especially with your arms. Dude, that's the more annoying thing in that situation for me when you're stuck against a wall and your arm is just hitting the wall when you're trying to play.
And for me, I always have the vocal mic.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost...
I've always got to practice how I play. So when I do stuff, like when I'm rehearsing at home, I'm always doing these ones. There's nothing there, but there's no point me singing like this because the microphone's not going to be there when I do it live. I need to make sure it's in the right spot.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's a big thing for me. Like, do you have the mic?
I'm wearing a helmet, bro. They've got a...
Oh, of course, yeah, true. You're wearing a fucking...
I'm anonymous. Yeah, the drop ears. Never heard of them before.
Yeah. Nah, drop your suck, man.
I love how you spent like the first 15 minutes just plugging other bands. And yeah. Then you come to one that you're in. Yeah, these guys are shit.
I filled in with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you doing that because Sarah
so
was funny, in.
Dude. I was so loaded. Yeah. That was a great gig.
They're funny, man. They're cool people.
Nah. Oh, look, I think that's absolutely just a pinnacle of, like, just summing up what the music scene's like here. Like, we just have a bunch of really good people about.
Yeah.
Like,
just, man, there's so many nice dudes.
Just nice and talented people around that are just...
Like, really, the community grew so quickly. Yeah. Like, I think we all met each other in 2000 and, 20? Right after COVID? 2021, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Well, at least, like, us meeting Pity Vincent and Treehouse.
Yeah, that was when we were all playing 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, yeah, like all of those sorts of stuff. Like, yeah. And again, but just the community that made.
But you have to say, like, I know I was joking around before, but that is a serious, like, they did, like, kind of, that was a cool place to go hang out and meet people.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what, like, the big thing is that with the coast that I've noticed since being here in my fifth year now, is that people go to stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if there's something to go to, if there's a place to play, it will work. Yeah. Like, there would have been definitely a lot of younger people that just really desperate to play that would have played at like a precinct equivalent down the peninsula where I was from. But people who thought they were bigger than that, people who played somewhere at Soul Bar once, that had played that equivalent venue, in Victoria they wouldn't have gone and played, oh, I'm not going to play precinct, too small, you know. And then it would have died because people wouldn't have wanted to.
You think like an ego thing?
Absolutely an ego thing. Whereas here, everyone's like, oh, this is a new place to play. I'll play to hang out.
Yeah. I'll play in your fucking laundry, dude.
That's absolutely true, though. That is absolutely the energy of people up here. It's just like
yeah, that's true. Shows. That's a good point, man.
One thing I've been trying to ask a lot of different people that I've been catching up with, so I've got a couple of newie bands that I've chatted with, a couple of people that I know a little bit about, not a lot, is what's your music scene like, and do you guys ever do DIY shows? Oh, no, not really. Not really a thing that we sort of do. You know, if there's venues opening up, we try and put our own bills together. I was like, that's not DIY. I mean DIY like you're saying. Like, let's do a laundry special. I've got a couple of lights we could bring, and let's just, you know, put one vocal mic up there and we can all sing into it. You know, that energy, biggest thing I noticed when I moved to the coast. You know, just setting up in industrial warehouses, upstairs, bedrooms, and like the cough maybe came into it. Yeah, but at the same time, like people were doing stuff. It actually stopped those DIY things. Yeah, we were doing them already. Like, and we're still doing them now. They're coming back, you know.
Yeah, it's all fucking tricky though, isn't it? Because it's like we did one the other day at Ireland. You know, Ireland from City Council.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just in his shed. It was like fun as, but it's just like...
super fun.
Just probably the lowest production.
Yeah.
I've ever seen, man.
Yeah.
That was fun. Like, we were just screwing around.
Best fun possible.
Yeah.
Everyone just came around just to have a big jam pretty well.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I think also you notice when I'm talking about America is because it's just law of averages, it's just lots of everything because it's just more people. You get stuff like, you know, people playing screamo sets in the middle of a Denny's. You know, you actually get people doing shit like that. Get people do DIY shows and they go, hey, we're doing like this punk thing. You know, like Namcore, that sort of thing.
That's a big
We've got a shop. My band's playing. And you're like, sweet, what's your address? And you look up your address. Oh, you know, 133 4th Street. 4th Street is an option. Why are we playing at a thrift store? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I'll fucking pay $10 entry to go to a thrift store.
There you go, DIY, you know? In the States.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're doing everything. Because, like, obviously there's more bands. So there's more sought after. But there's just... people are just keen. And I like that people are keen here. People do stuff. People are keen to muck in and get amongst it and have a go.
Yeah. Oh, it's like you're doing your podcast, man. Like you just start a podcast. Like,
yeah. I just want to meet more people. For me, it's an opportunity to meet more people and catch up with more people. Because some people...
man, it's fun.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. And some people are like, oh...
I want to fucking start a podcast.
I'm a bit nervous to have a... why do you want to call me sort of thing? I'm like, oh, how about we get the mics out? And we have a bit of a...
yeah.
Oh, no, that's chat. Fine then. Let's do that. Because during the cough, I couldn't be like, can I call you and have a conversation? It's more like, oh, can we do something that has like something to it? Oh, yeah, we can do that. Because I'm like, when's the last time someone asked you about certain things? Like, there's no way when you rocked up, you would have expected that you'd be referencing a video of you in your garage when you were 15, 14, 13.
Oh, I don't know. I don't mind talking about it, so.
It does come up often.
Probably going to bring it up.
No, that's fine. Well, there you go. But then again,
nah, I'm just fucking, I know what you mean.
But that's the sort of thing. That's the sort of thing that you get. And that's why I love doing it. Because for me, it's an opportunity. Like, I say it as like, an opportunity to meet your next favorite artist. But for me, it's an opportunity to just catch up with people that I already know I like or that I want to get to know more.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And just have a chat. Because after that, people don't really get asked questions about themselves. They might say, oh, Catchy Sermon, that was a cool set. Oh, I like your guitar.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's nice. But that's not what this is.
Yeah, no.
This is a little bit more like I actually genuinely want to hear you guys talk.
Huh. How do you start? Like, what got you into it?
It was one spur of the moment.
Bit of Joe Rogan.
No, it was actually one spur of the moment night. It was a Thursday night. I remember it very vividly. 10 p.m. I was like, I don't think people ask musicians about themselves in this capacity. You know, sit down, let's talk about it. And then, you know, lockdowns were happening and such. And then I went to bed and then I woke up at 11. I was like, I couldn't get more of an hour out of it. I messed my best mate. I want to do this. I think this is an opportunity. I don't think anyone's actually doing this. And at the time, even chatting with other people I know now that have started similar things, no one was really doing it at the time. They were doing like spotlight things about artists to try and get people to remember them since they're not going to be playing shows for the foreseeable future. But they weren't really doing this. So I was like, I think there's a niche here. I had enough tech to be able to do online stuff. The only proviso was that if you were doing online, you'd have to film your side of the convo or record it. But I was like, I'm chatting to musos. They're going to have mics and kit. So I'm not super worried about that.
Yeah, interfaces.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then from there, we just sort of vibed it out on essentially a couple of questions that I knew. I went with people I knew really well first, so there was not really any risk of having lulls. Yeah. And then outside of that, I was like, sweet, who else can I open the wings to? And then I ended the first season, ended up getting the drummer from Bliss and Esso.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, I was listening. So, because you don't have them all on Spotify though, do you?
No. So when it first started, I didn't know that I could use like free hosting through Spotify for podcast platform to get it online. I was like,
So they're like your distributor?
Well, they do distribute it now. I just had it all on YouTube because I was like, this is free. I'm solely in control of it. And this isn't going to make me money. So I don't want to outlay lots because job security at this time in 2020, I don't really want to be spending money for the sake of it. So it's already taking my time. And then in the end, John actually told me that you realize you can do this for free now. And I was like, shit, really?
True.
So that's why I've done a couple of highlights from previous seasons and put them up on Spotify.
Yeah, because
and then obviously all of season four, they're all on.
Yeah. So is that the one with Connor? I listened to the one with Connor. I think that was on YouTube.
Connor's on YouTube because in the scheme of things, I had like 30-something episodes and I just, it was about 40 episodes and it was just so much work to just go in, convert them so that I could upload them to Spotify 40 times. It was just a lot of work. So I was like, I'll just do a few and then just put them up and then from now on, they'll all be on Spotify and that's how I'm doing it.
Have you had any that you haven't put out? Like, obviously, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but like anything?
Only one, just because it just did not work on their end. Didn't work on their end. And it was actually a really good chat, but I was just like, I can't put up me talking to asking questions with no answer.
Oh, as in the technology?
Yeah, their technology side.
Oh, right. Like a Zoom call or something.
And I was like, well, that's unusable then. I think it was either one or two, season one or two. So I was like, it's the only one that I've actually gone, I can do nothing with this. This is unusable.
Yeah, right.
And that was just like,
that's shit. Pretty good run then, man.
Yeah. Because I've been,
I'm on the fence about putting this one out.
No, it's fine. Well, I'll keep in the good bits. That's fine. As long as the camera's still recording, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. But for me, as I've become able to do more in person and I'm fully in control of the tech, I'm happy to just keep it rolling. Like some people are like, oh, I don't think I can do 30 minutes of talking, Bailey. And then I'm cutting them off at 31 minutes because I'm like, we should wrap it up. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it's because no one's probably ever asked them.
Yeah.
You started music when you were 15.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. No one's ever asked me before.
Oh, man, good for you, dude. That's awesome.
And that's what I like about it because people don't.
That's cool. Starting off shit. It's cool.
And that's the thing. As I think as a community of doers around here, there's a lot of big personalities and a lot of interesting musos and people that aren't musos, you know, like that are soundies or stuff like that. I want to get to know them more. Like, why not? Like, let's build a community and collaborate in a way that's
definitely
more of a sit down chat.
Yeah.
So, what have you guys got going on in the next little while? Like, this will be coming out in a couple of weeks, but like, what have you guys got on in the next little while?
New tunes.
Yoddy.
For sure. Yeah. Two that we've already had on the go for a while, but just want to rewrite a tiny bit to sort of bring it to what we're looking for nowadays.
Yep.
And then three freshies. Very much fast, heavy. One of them's a bit slower, very much learn again like we used to. Like we've never wanted to ditch that genre really.
Oh,
that slower kind of melodic sort of singing and
okay.
But again, just a bit of change of, instead of just balls to the wall the entire time.
Yeah, you got a bit of variety for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just slow it down a tiny bit. And that's a Tommy Braithwaite. He wrote that tune, or he wrote that riff, and then brings it into me, and I'll write the melody and lyrics towards all of that sort of stuff. It's usually how we do things.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other two, big punk song, Fast As, I'm going to scat in it.
Yes.
Don't really know what we're going to write it about. I think I'm just going to scat the whole time. It's kind of gone off. I think we did it with
We're going to bring scat back.
Yeah, I love it. No, I love it because when you did it, because like I looked at Jet and we both knew that this was more of on the intentional side of town. When you were oh look, I haven't written words for this yet, so skibbity bop bop. And I just like I feel like this is definitely what it's going to be recorded like.
Yeah,
for sure.
Just got to maybe pick it. I've got like a really heavy part, and like we've got it's sort of a breakdown-y sort of thing. I've got to try and figure out what to scream inside of there. I might just scream scat. I don't know. Start a new type of genre.
Thought
you meant
scream the word scat.
Yeah.
Scat!
Scat! That's brilliant. Well,
that would be what.
Is that in the works? Like, is like, is that how done is that? Like,
it's. Pretty much written.
All of them are written. It just comes down now to getting into the studio, and also me just finishing up lyrics. I get very indecisive with writing some of them sometimes. Again, it's not my first instrument. Like, I've only started writing lyrics, and I've nearly failed Year 12 English.
Fantastic.
It just sort of, I don't know, it took a while to sort of settle into it, but as I've done it for a little bit longer now, it's a bit easier writing and doing all that sort of stuff outside of the music side of things.
Yeah.
Not great with words, but I try my best. I guess that's why I'm in a scat, so I don't have to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the boys must pull their fucking hair out, because we get like, it feels like we just get obsessive with certain, or at least me. I'm so bad for it, man. I'll get like really into one band, and then if I'm into that one band, everything else can it like just fuck off. Like,
yeah.
So like, and then I'll just be like, man, like just like going through the phases of just like, oh, now that's not cool anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that anymore. So that's like those old two songs. So like we recorded them. You know when you record a song and then it just sits there for a while, and then you just got more time to pick it apart, and then you start getting like,
I think we've almost we've recorded just about as many songs as like that we didn't like
that we've never released and never will. Like,
that's crazy.
I think like a good five or six. I'd say.
I don't know. But just
again, we recorded it. We liked it when we recorded it, and then when you're about to release and you're talking about releasing it, you're listening to the tune going,
yeah, it just feels like you slap the shit on the floor sometimes. Just dicks, like.
Exactly. And also in an oversaturated, because like it is just not necessarily in a negative sense, but there's just lots out there.
Oh, so much.
Yeah. You want to put out something that you're proud of?
So much music. Yeah, that's the hardest thing for me at least. I reckon I can't take. It's so hard to take any pride.
Well, the thing is, I've had such a relationship with John where, like, he understands that I am a bit pragmatic sometimes to a fault, where I'm like, hey, John, you've come in, you want to do 27 takes on the vocals, we're going to do it in 5. Rather than whatever the vibe is, if you're not vibing it, let's just get in scatting, there.
Yeah,
you know.
A bit more straightforward.
You
know,
yeah.
Like, it's just like, okay,
this is what we're doing.
You've come round so that we're going to get, you know, 3 tracks of vocals done.
Yeah.
Let's get
it. You're not leaving until we've done 3 tracks of vocals.
Yeah.
You know, sort of thing. And that is... And he's been super open to that because he said, I haven't had a person like that, so things have just gone by the wayside. He's like, Make It Through, which is Connor's favourite song of ours, and one that's going to be on the EP.
That's Justice Trio you're talking
about. Yeah. He's like, I've done this, will be the third time I've done it. And one was fully acoustic, one was a bit of both. And he said, this one is going out. I was like, yeah, damn straight it's going out. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes here. You know, this one's going out. I was like, we know it. It's great. We're pulling it together. We'll pull some ideas, but... We're not putting this one back on the back burner for another year. You know, this one we're going out with. Okay, sweet. And he's responsive to that, because sometimes you need someone that's a little bit like, I was going to say this line or that line, and then you go that one. And then, okay, thank you for helping me decide. We're done. We're moving on. We're not just going to
dwell over
the small little intricate things.
That's what I think we're good at in some sort of aspect. We do get into the studio.
Fucked, I reckon, though.
What do you mean? Do you reckon that? I think that we write something that, which is, again, why I feel we do tunes when we go into the studio, we end up not liking them, is because it's like, we do those tunes, we don't like them anymore, it's because we've overthought them, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, we write the song so intricately before we go into the studio, and we're like, we know what we want there, we know what we want there, we know what we want there, we record it exactly how we want it.
That's true, there's no, like, fucking experience.
We are very, very much like you said, very...
Yeah, not banging triangles on washing machines.
No. I know what the parts I'm going to record in today.
Exactly.
I'm not leaving until it's right, but I'm not going to go... Maybe I want to put mandolin in this song.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not that, like that. You're coming with a plan.
To be fair, we probably are right at that, but I'm just shocking for Dylan. Like, I'm trying to like take a step back with the input as far as like what I like and don't like, because man, it's just like so obsessive.
Oh yeah, and also like Del said, I've done this before and had a big record, and you come in and you do the vocals, and by the end of it, you are absolutely like cooking. So you want to do the song again. And then you do the first song again, and then you're cooking, and then we've never finished, and we're still doing the same six songs over and over. Because every time at the end, you're cooking again,
constantly building.
And because I'm cooking in song number six, probably want to go back to song number one and start again, so I can get it to that level. And then you just—it's a feedback loop, and you never get out of it.
Do you produce any of that stuff?
Well, so I'm producing the Dust Australia record.
Yeah, you just released a thing with Connor and Josiah, right?
So, I saw that. I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Not because it was today, like this morning, but. You know, it'll be a couple of weeks off by the time it comes out. But yeah, so Mixed Bag by Whistle. Basically, it was an idea.
What's the band?
Whistle.
Whistle.
And the idea was, because Connor's like, when you hear these tracks. And anyone who knows Connor Hansen knows
that's such
that
a Connor Hansen quiet.
Such a Connor.
Yeah, my God.
So we're literally sitting, like you are sitting in the hot seat of where he sat and came up with some lines whilst I had an acoustic in the seat across and just basically... I just came up with the guitar part, and we just alternated lines. He refined it. I put some drums down, and then him, Josiah, just
Are you gonna gig it?
Look, the idea is that we could. It was nothing too extreme that we put in 47 parts that can't be made. Like, it absolutely can be played live, and you never know. Like, we're playing something to release the album in July for the Justice Trio and Chamberlain on the bill. You never know. I've done songs for Chamberlain before, and we've played them live that I've written and stuff. So look, you never know. The idea was that it was just songwriting for the sake of songwriting. Like, we could just get together. They just came around and we just churned it out in a day. I'd already done the drums, and then I mixed and mastered it and came out today. You know, like that's sort of shit. It's just like those sorts of things just happen. And that was the idea behind that. So,
what sort of stuff is it?
It's like blues pop rock.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like there's a blues feel to the guitar part initially, because that's sort of what I had in my brain when we first started writing it. But then it's got this extremely Oasis-y, kind of melancholic, rock, you know.
Emotional.
No fucking surprise there.
Which is, no surprise at all. But
Connor'd be a rock.
Connor Hansen loves that.
Exactly. So essentially that's what it's about. So.
Sweet, man. That's cool.
Yeah. So
you're doing a lot of stuff, dude.
Oh, look, I like to keep busy, because I really enjoy it. And I don't work outside of my, like, what I can actually achieve, because I don't want to be shit at something. I want to make sure that they're all good enough that we're all having a good time. I'm not just going to hand them in.
Yeah, you know, just put stuff out for the sake of it.
Yeah, you know, the chap's happy. And the biggest thing is that I've tried to get better at on the other side, but that I've been instilling with some people that maybe err on that perfectionist side, is that, you know, for instance, we can record this, you know, those guitar parts upstairs, like we did when I was at my other place and we recorded the guitars for Grown Up, that track I did with Kane and Connor. It's like, we did it under the stairs. We did it in the room where the drum kit is. Here, the optics of it may look like we did it in Bailey's upstairs bedroom, but it sounds fucking sick, so who cares?
That sounds fine.
And that's the thing. So if it sounds good, who cares?
Are you self-taught production-wise? Like,
no, I studied. So I was saying with Dan Murtagh, the guy from...
Yeah.
I studied at the Australian College of the Arts.
Huh.
For...
Are you still doing that?
No, that was in Melbourne.
Right.
So I studied there for... I was doing a bachelor and ended up just leaving with a diploma because we wanted to move to Queensland.
Yeah, righto.
But, like, you know, it's paid for itself.
That's awesome.
According to the government, it hasn't, but like it has itself in just the amount of stuff
that
we can do.
You just move to Queensland to avoid paying your fucking ex or something.
Not quite a different country, but But yeah, so that's sort of thing.
Just hiding in Nimble.
Yeah, exactly. Tuck don't tell anyone. As you know, guys, I'm trying to keep it super incognito. I don't want anyone to know where I am or what I'm doing. That's why this only goes out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to go out and Pandora.
Only small stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Only on the small stuff.
On Patreon.
Yeah, Mixed Bag, mate. No one even knows that Whistle's me. But yeah, so I'll make sure I'll play that for you afterwards.
Fuck yeah.
And I'll put it on. I'll put it actually at the end of this ep as like the song, because I always put in Grown Up as the intro music, but I'll put that as
how,
the
many, how many tracks did you do?
Literally just one.
Just one.
But we have plans to do more, and then
kind of throw himself out there as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Again, it's just what you were talking about before. Just getting out there and just doing more music. Yeah, I feel like everyone's just getting out there and doing that. You do the same thing.
Yeah,
Riley plays with another band called Dad Fight. I'm not sure if you've heard of them before.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, everyone just gets out there and has a bit of fun, in my opinion. But again, it all comes back to, I feel like we've definitely made a commitment to Catching Salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is our main group.
Yep.
And then again, all this other stuff is just for fun. And it's like, we put as much effort into it as we want to put into it. But the majority of our tune writing and all that sort of stuff, I feel, at least for me, goes towards Catching Salmon.
Different for me. not as much as the commitment thing, but just because it's different music, so it's kind of easy. Yeah. Like, if you come up with something, it's kind of like, not that I write much for Dad Fight at all, but like, if I've got something, I can sort of know which, which band it'll work better with.
For sure,
bring it to one of them. I'm not just going to fucking keep a good riff from one band or the other for the sake of it.
100%. I do the same thing with the drobbies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, you're playing different instruments, so it's even more different.
Yeah.
So, well, Chats, where can the lovely people find you? Like, socials?
I live in Budrum.
I live in Bulwooba.
Fantastic.
Kick around the Woolworths a bit there.
Well, just on, again, at Catching Salmon.
Yeah.
If you want to follow the personal, go ahead and try and find it. I'm not gonna plug
the
personal.
He won't respond, so it's of no value to you, but...
I never respond.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Pretty much just Instagram, man. We don't do
We don't really do too much. I mean, if you want to email us, you can email us at catchingsalmonofficial at Gmail.
Another medium that will not reply to.
It doesn't. That reminds me. We've got to respond to fucking email on there.
Oh, I love it, boys. Yeah. I love it. Well,
thanks for having us, man. That was fun.
A pleasure. Thank you. For having a chinwag with me. And thanks. It was nice, actually, because no one actually asked me questions normally. So it was...
No, I don't know you, man.
Nice to actually have Riley ask me some questions anyway. So
I'll just be interested to get to know you.
Yeah, no. Well, I'll make sure we continue this a bit off air as well and have a bit of a laugh. Well, guys, that is another episode of the Ask a Muso podcast. Look, lots of things covered. I got asked questions. It was wild. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, every week. And until next time, I'll see you later.
Bye.
She's a mixed bag of M&M's. She's a